On Workers' Day this Friday, SAA employees will be faced with a tough decision. One, either the business rescue practitioner's proposed employment termination agreement, or two, accept the leadership compact agreed to in principle between Minister Gordon and unions. Aviation analyst Lyndon Burns joins us on the line now with his take on what's being put forward. Thanks so much, Lyndon, for your time this evening. So when we caught up last week, we talked about what a tough feat a potential hiving of SAA assets would be given the current economic climate and what price tags SAA would actually be able to fetch at the end of the day. So with severance packages to be funded from the proceeds of any sales, surely that prospect presented by the employment termination agreement proposed by the business rescue practitioners not looking too lucrative right now for employees or SAA for that matter.
Hi, good evening. Yeah, look, you know, the devil's in the detail and that's what's missing. And I think, you know, that people are growing rather frustrated and incredulous. You know, on one hand, you've got, you know, government saying, you know, we don't want to see retrenchments and making commitments to the union and at the same unions. And at the same time, telling the business rescue practitioners there's no money left in the pot. And we can't fund anything. So, you know, it would seem that there's a stalemate and somehow it's got to be broken. And, you know, I saw the communiques that were issued this morning by one of the union groups saying that, you know, they've received this commitment now yesterday that there's to be a new company or a new structure emerging from the old one. But again, you know, no word from Public Enterprises on exactly what that would be, and certainly no word from the business rescue practitioners.
As you say, Lyndon, the detail is very much lacking at this point, but let's take a look at that prospect, you know, establishing a new airline, going down this route again, a national, you know, creating a national asset which is internationally competitive, sustainable, profitable. Realistically speaking, can that be achieved?
It can, and, you know, people have been saying for some time, and I don't just mean now in the crisis, it's with, you know, issues with labor and the rising costs of labor have been something that have bedeviled SAA for some time. And, you know, one of the options on the table is, you know, go and start a new company and employ people under new terms and conditions. They kind of did that to, if you like, with Mango. When they decided, you know, to launch Mango, whatever it was, 10, 15 years ago, the people employed at Mango are employed under different terms and conditions to the people employed who run the SAA airline. So it can be done, and again, it all comes down to what's the mandate, where are they getting the capital from, what type of capitalization do they require, and is it, you know, feasible, and will they then be left? Yeah, will the right people be hired and left alone to run it?
Yeah.
And that's also a critical thing. And if you look at other state-owned airlines around the world, especially the ones that have been very profitable until now, that's been the key. You know, proper, adequate capitalization, hiring the best guns for the job, and then letting them get on with it with a clear mandate and no political interference afterwards.
That all being said, is it even a viable consideration and option right now, a route that can be explored, given the fact that we had business rescue status placed in the power of the hands of the business rescue practitioners, because the BRP is saying that if the proposed termination of the employment agreement is not accepted, then their only option would be to apply for liquidation. Or has government just simply muddied the waters here?
Yeah, and I think this is also, you know, it's important. This is a fascinating case because it's flashed out into the open the gap or the incompatibility with the Business Rescue and the Companies Act and the Public Finance Management Act. And there's been this tug of war over who actually has the responsibility and the powers and the authority to make those decisions. And very clearly, government believes it's still you know, holds those levers.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Lyndon, let's leave it there with you for this evening. That, of course, aviation analyst Lyndon Burns. Now, the SA Cabin Crew Association, in the meantime, has outright rejected the business rescue practitioner's retrenchment proposal. The organization's deputy president, Christopher Shabangu, joins us on the line now with more on the stance it's taking. Thanks so much, Christopher, for your time this evening. So, as I say, your members have fully rejected the retrenchment offers from the business rescue practitioners. Is that the stance majority of your members are maintaining at this stage?
Good evening to you, ma'am, and good evening to your listeners. Yes, that's a stance that we have taken. I hope you can hear me well that side.
We've got you loud and clear.
That's a stance that we have taken, and it was not taken lightly. First of all, SACA and MIMSA never refused to be part of the Section 189 at all. All that we asked for was that the business rescuers are obliged to give us a plan, or to give the creditors a plan, which workers are part of the creditors, as to how they plan to rescue the airline. Now, when the Section 189 started, we requested for that information. Unfortunately, we were not furnished with that information. So we had to pull out of the Section 189 and started negotiations or talks with the Department of Enterprise, the talks which are still going on to this day.
I'm going to hit pause on that point for now. If you get more certain terms with proposed settlement figures, timelines of payments, compared to if the business goes into liquidation, does that necessarily then change the kind of conversation you could be having with the business rescue practitioners?
We believe we're not there yet. We believe we're not there yet, and we are encouraged by the talks that we're having with the Department of Enterprises. The talks that we're having with the Department of Enterprises are not including liquidation. If it's time for us to talk about, Section 189 and packages, of course we will engage and talk to the company or to the BRPs about that. But at this moment, we're not there yet. We believe we're far from it. We believe we're far from it because the talks that we're having are around how we restructure SAA. We're talking about if it's a new airline, should we be going that route? Should we be going the restructuring route of the airline? Rather than just to say we want to go for liquidation. You have to remember one thing. The business rescue practitioners are calling for this now, for this agreement that they have right now, because we believe they failed to do their job. Hence, now the workers are now supposed to bear the brunt of their failure, in our view. So, no, at this particular moment, it's not time for us to be talking packages and settlements yet.
In the interim, and while you go through this restructuring process hand in hand with the department, Christopher, and as you see the merits of this leadership compact, I've got to ask, any hints as to how exactly this is all going to be funded?
Your call has been placed on hold.
Christopher's put us on hold at a very crucial question point there, because that is the big question at the end of the day. If we do go down this route, what kind of funding options does government have at hand to actually implement some of what is being labelled, according to Christopher, as practical solutions that could be implemented in a bid to save the airline, and that hasn't been done and sprouted about for the longest while. So one wonders what's different right now. That was, of course, Deputy President of the SA Cabin Crew Association, Christopher Shabangu. For the longest time, SAA has been a political hot potato, and that's complicated issues a whole lot more as well. Sees where Pamela, who's spokesperson for KASATU, joins us now to discuss SAA from the perspective of the Tripartite Alliance. Thanks so much, Sizwe, for joining us this evening. We know that this is more than just about saving a business at this point. This is a political consideration that needs to be made. As a member of the Tripartite Alliance, is it your engagements with the minister and government that's actually culminated in this leadership compact?
Yes, as an alliance, we did get a presentation from Minister Pravin Gordhan, and he outlined the progress that have been made with unions. He also outlined the difficulties and the challenges that they are all facing, stakeholders, to really come to a common position. But the principle here is that no decision should be taken without the involvement of other stakeholders. So that is really what we wanted, to make sure that we do not outsource the responsibility of dealing with this problem. As Kosatu, we have consistently explained our discomfort with the process of business rescue. In this country, it has a terrible success rate. It hasn't really, if you look at the mess that we've seen in the mining sector, for example. So we were never a big fan of the decision when it was taken, and we warned against it to say people are going to waste a lot of time instead of sitting around the table, bringing all stakeholders, looking at the reality that confronts the airline, and then finding a common solution after engaging in trade-offs, because there's not going to be a perfect solution. They all need to sit around the table, look at what is possible, explore the trade-offs. We are happy that that process has started to unfold, and we encourage the unions to realize that it is in their hands. So they all have to play a constructive role to work with government to find that common solution.
It's in their hands within very specific or with very specific constraints in mind, Sizwe, because like you say, you know, you weren't in favor of the business rescue practitioners or process, business rescue process from the get-go. You're now seeing the merits of this leadership compact. Do you have any idea of how exactly this turnaround strategy or this revived SAA is going to be funded?
No, as the Federation, our position has been to allow unions at a local level or at an affiliate level to really deal with the technicalities of how the turnaround is going to be affected. And we have made this deliberate because we have made it very clear to them to say, while we do have broad general political principles of what we would like to see the outcomes to be, we want each and every stakeholder or social partner to take responsibility for how the problem is going to be solved. That's why we're saying that we are not going to sit at a federation level and impose a trade-off.
With that, please, where comes the recognition that you know, the SAA is bloated and that job losses are inevitable. Are you accepting of that?
For an example, one of the questions we were asking is to say, where is the evidence that the airline is bloated? Because what we need is to do an audit that shows that this is where it is bloated. Look, unfortunately, in this country, we are in the habit of just recycling information. If it is in the public domain, it means it is true. And then this is why a federation should not necessarily be pontificating on whether it is bloated or not. Unions who sit at the bargaining chamber should demand that a report be tabled, mm-hmm. of a skills audit that shows that it is bloated. So that, because these are the people who are going to negotiate. These are the people who are going to take decisions. So the idea that people engaging in political discourse should talk about it is bloated without substantiating those claims, it is a mistake that you are trying to avoid. So if it is bloated, those who make the claim should present proof that it is bloated. And then they also need to have a conversation about the outsourcing and the insourcing, the benefits thereof, of keeping that kind of arrangement. So that is why we have said that we are not going to contest people who say it is bloated. We are going to ask them to prove that it is bloated. And as soon as they prove that, then they have to take that to the relevant platforms and work with the social partners and other unions to actually find a solution to that question of
bloated. We watch the clock as it ticks to Friday and, of course, monitor developments there as they unfold. Thank you so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Sizwe Pamla is spokesperson for COSATU.